ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
We've been waiting 23 years to say the NBA on NBC. It's back. We'll be in Oklahoma City as the Thunder raise the banner against Durant and the Rockets. And the team that lives out here, the Warriors, taking on the Lakers in L.A. Doubleheader coming up for you Tuesday night on NBC. Part of our coverage, our special contributor, Michael Jordan. And we'll have the first of our visits with MJ coming up during our coverage of the doubleheader.
Are you wearing the exact Jordans that Michael Jordan is wearing?
No, I'm not.
There's no way that's an accident.
Not exact, but they're pretty cool. I will say that.
Was it a freebie?
I'm not kidding. Chris paid for everything I get. Come on.
Basketball. I can't hear it. I can't hear it without feeling like a 12-year-old again. That's exactly where my mind goes when I hear this music, man. This is my childhood come to life.
Well, I firmly believe that music is time travel. Hell, that's what Tributosaurus is largely about, you know, helping people get back to those moments when they loved it the best. So, yeah, that's what happens to you. Paint me a picture, Anthony Aaron.
So, as a youngster in the 90s, huge Bulls fan.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it.
And a skit like that airs, and I don't know that it connects with everybody in the same way, but there's enough people.
I never heard it with the lyrics
that
before.
Connected with.
It's really good with the lyrics.
I think that's exactly how John Tesh wrote it.
Sure.
But for me, in my mind, as just a tween at that point, early 90s, when the Bulls were just on everybody's TV, on everybody's radio, and Michael Jordan was ruling the sports and entertainment universe.
Yes.
For me, whether it was Johnny Red Kerr watching a local broadcast, or you know, Marv Albert and the czar of the telestrator, Mike Fratello, on the national broadcast, everything was Bulls. And so when I would hear Round Ball Rock immediately, and it's still the case 30 years later, it's still to me just thinking of all these amazing calls that have happened for so many Bulls moments in years past when they were just ruling the basketball universe.
So you're thinking about Sports Channel? And Steve Cashel.
Yeah.
And
Norm Van Leer.
Norm Van Leer.
Intensity.
I mean, I'm hearing like, you know, like.
But this music wasn't playing for those guys.
Well, not those, but for me, because so
same.
Many of the cool moments were, and because I was young, so it's all in the same kind of jambalaya. It's all a part of the same gumbo for me, where like when I'm hearing this music and I'm thinking like, here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good. Bulls win. They win. Although that wasn't on NBC. But I know, like, you know, when, a spectacular move by Michael Jordan. I know that was
one
Marv
was
Albert.
On
Pippen. Jordan. 32 for Jordan. Wexler for three. Air ball.
So this, yes, the shrug.
That's
against the
shrug.
Portland Trailblazers. So he had gotten.
Michael indicating he can't believe it.
Yeah, did you see that look? That's Marv having a conversation with Michael's body language.
He's gotten the tip dunk off Scotty, missing one on the break, then comes right back down, drains another three-pointer, and no one could touch Michael Jordan in that moment. And Marv Albert was the voice, the soundtrack for so many of those moments. I mean, think about the finish of the three-peat against the Phoenix Suns. The iconic calls
the first
that were
three-peat.
There. Yes, the first of the multiple
right.
three-peats that they had
because
in the 90s.
The second three-peat is Kostas and Matty Gukas.
Exactly, right.
So and go ahead, go back to your first three-peat.
Yes. I mean, for me, like that game, that series against Phoenix, and at that point, we all thought everybody was tired of the Bulls winning. They were against us, and basketball world didn't want MJ doing this or that. We were silly little people back then, but that was how it felt. It felt like people were tired of the Bulls, and you're watching Michael going over there. Dan Majerle was supposed to be the Jordan stopper. Charles and Michael were still close friends back then, and we weren't necessarily comfortable with that.
Kevin Johnson was supposed to be that great
KJ
leader.
Yeah, KJ was a big deal there, too.
And but just, no, nothing. So yeah.
No. Nobody had anything on MJ.
No, you can't.
The glove. I had no problem with the glove.
Dude, but, Michael. But Ant, your point, like, Easter Sunday, Christmas, like that song comes on. It's like, forget everything else. You're forget opening presents on Christmas.
Everything.
Oh, that song's on. It's time to go.
It's time to go. Light the campfire. We're sitting in front of the TV and the world is watching the Bulls. And we were all just a part of that community of Bulls fans. And we didn't realize at the time, I don't think, how big it was, but whether national or local, it all felt like a part of it. And so, frankly, it was just odd when Fox Sports started some college basketball coverage a few years ago.
And they were using that. They had the audacity to use that.
Yeah. Yes. How could they possibly have the audacity to utilize Round Ball Rock? That's the NBA on NBC. How could John Tesh betray us and allow that to happen? But it was for a minute, but it will be back on NBC tonight.
Yeah, this is the reason that this conversation is happening is that
here's Jordan around Marley. Jordan all the way. Yes.
They're two
Ewing
out to set a pick. Here Starks changed his mind.
Come on, Charles Smith.
Shot clock down to 10. Ewing for Smith.
Stripped. Again?
Smith stopped again by Pippen.
Smith!
What a play by Scottie Pippen. Final seconds. Jordan for Armstrong. And the Bulls have defeated
Slam the that ball, Charles Smith.
The Chicago Bulls with a couple of spectacular plays.
So we're going to have to play that again when we talk to Horace Grant tomorrow at 525. So maybe twice in these 2 days.
My dad, who was 6'6", where we're like in my parents' room watching that game play out, NBA and NBC. My dad at 6'6", hops up on my parents' beds. Me, my mom, my dad, my sister, all sitting there just like riveted by the Bulls having a chance to take out the Knicks. My dad hops up as they get the first strip and then the block on Charles Smith. We're all screaming in my parents' bedroom. My dad bumps his head on the ceiling because he's 6'6", and now he's standing on his bed. He bumps his head on the ceiling. Then he just kind of bends down a little bit while just screaming at the TV, get him! Block him! Stop him! Get him! Charles Smith and Smith and Strip and the block over and over again. And all these things are just the soundtrack of my childhood. Like the Paxson shot with John Paxson, one of the game winners that Michael Jordan didn't hit, was Paxson for three!
Yep.
Yes!
He has come out of this possession.
And he's ready.
They want Michael to get a full head of steam, try to keep him in the middle of the floor.
Remaining.
I didn't know we were doing play-by-play karaoke with Anthony Heron right here.
I mean,
just cut that call out and let Ant finish it, man.
Word by word. I could tell you everything that was said during that time.
That's beautiful. You're speaking to a lot of people who feel similarly about that moment. And so tonight at 6:30, when you turn on NBC, wherever you are, and it's the Rockets and the Thunder, or maybe you watch the late game at 9, and it's the Warriors and the Lakers, with no LeBron, by the way, and the NBA is back on NBC, and you hear that song, that's going to be time travel for you, Ant Heron, and for you, Chris Tannehill, taking you right back there, right?
I mean, Danny, I don't know if you're 20 or 40. I feel like we're of a similar age.
We are,
similar
yeah.
sensibilities, man, just growing up here. Alex is too young for it.
Yeah, Speaks is too old. Alex is too young.
I mean, to be honest, let's be honest. I think for the 90s, I was stoned for 78% of that decade.
All right.
Yeah.
I did watch basketball for during it.
But, you know, it's funny earlier you mentioned it. You guys, the first three-peat or the second three-peat. It's like why we can't have nice things now because we experienced like that era. It was like the best time to grow up in Chicago. Like after a playoff game would finish, you'd be so amped up. You'd go outside and play basketball. The kids on the block. You know, back when kids played outside.
Yeah.
I just remember every time there was a clinching, you know, night, go out and get JB Alberto's pizza. You know what I mean? It's like, here we go. Like some of the best times, like watching those games and hearing that song.
Because it wasn't just sports. Jordan was the biggest star in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was, Michael Jackson?
There was Michael Jackson.
And Michael Jordan.
Eddie Murphy, to a certain extent,
to an extent.
Yeah,
but
like
in
80s into the early 90s.
Worldwide, though, you knew. Right. If you were in Shanghai, or you were in Bombay, or wherever, and you said, I'm from Chicago, or if you were in anywhere in America, obviously, it was like, oh, wow, Michael Jordan. He redefined the city. It went away from Al Capone, finally, and became Michael Jordan as your initial identifier.
You like to travel internationally. It's occasional. We'll still get a little Chicago. Bang, bang, from somebody in another country because that connotation is still there. But yes, there's a reason when you travel the world and people still, to this day, even though the Bulls haven't done a lot in recent years here, they'll wear Bulls jerseys, Bulls hats, Bulls jackets. The Bulls are the iconic international basketball brand because of what happened during the 90s, during the NBA on NBC era.
Yeah.
And it's the one time I've ever torn up my home during a basketball game was the second three-peat. Now, Marv Albert was not on the call for that, but it was still
it's
NBA
and
on NBC.
Uh-huh.
And when Jordan pushes Brian Russell out of the way and sinks that mid-range jumper to seal the second three-peat, I'm running around. I'm still moving into an apartment in Iowa City. I think after my freshman year, going there for summer workouts, me, a teammate, my brother are just enraptured around the television, and he sinks that shot. I run around our home that we're renting, throwing furniture all over the place, yelling, Moneyball! Moneyball! I'm renting this house from some old dude, putting holes in the wall, throwing furniture everywhere, because I was just so excited that Mike was able to make the second three-peat happen.
I ran around my block. I was 13 or whatever, and ran at 14. I ran around my block, like, just in excitement, hoping there'd be other people out there, but there wasn't really.
Okay.
You know, but you're just like, the joy just overtakes you.
I was early 20s, living at school and seminary over there in Wrigleyville, and we went out onto the streets on Clark and School over there after the Bulls won to finish that three-peat, and somebody had brought their speaker up to the window and was playing Gary Glitter over and over and over again, and the streets were packed with people, and my roommate, my buddy Brian, got up on a bus stop, and he's standing on the top of the bus stop, and you know he's cheering and everything, and then he got scared, and he jumped off and broke his foot. He broke his foot and had to crawl around the apartment for the next 3 months.
He was so frightened that he had to break his own foot.
He thought he was going to get arrested. It's like, nobody's going to arrest you, man. But yeah, it's like just insane times based on, and then the assurance that you knew that they were going to win.
Yeah.
You knew that they were the best and that Michael couldn't be stopped, especially that second three-peat. You knew that like you were watching the greatest of all time.
Mm.
And it's interesting because the greatest of all time is back on your television tonight. Michael Jordan is part of the broadcast for NBC and Peacock starting tonight. That's what Mike Tirico was teasing there. Here's what we know about tonight. Halftime coverage of Rockets Thunder will be highlighted by a portion of an interview between Mike Tirico and Michael Jordan in the first installment of MJ Insights to Excellence, a series that will air throughout the season. So we're not getting Michael sitting at the desk as a talking head. This is not Michael watching his buddy Charles Barkley for all these decades become the best analyst in any sport on television.
Best studio analyst, yeah.
Best studio analyst, like one of the best television talking head personalities in the world. This is not Michael watching that and saying, I want to do that and just hang out. Or maybe it is, but it's going to be way more manicured.
It's going to be on my terms.
And dude, it's the Jordan rules of broadcast.
Right. Yeah.
It absolutely is. Like, why don't we just do this on tape so I can make sure that I don't say anything that's going to get me in trouble? And let's just do it this way. Yeah, Tirico, you want to interview me? Did they go to his house? Do we know where this got recorded? Because The Last Dance was on Michael's terms. I mean, that's Michael executive producing, and Michael with his drink and his cigar and his chair and his house.
Ahmad Rashad is still with us and looking good, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, maybe Ahmad makes an appearance on this thing at some point as well.
They should. Not? They absolutely should.
Just throw it all the way back.
Costas should make an appearance. I don't know what Costas is, our friend Bob, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his, contractually, he only does a little bit for MLB Network. Right. I'm sure NBC could make a call and get him on there.
Thank you, Matt. Always a pleasure to speak to you soon.
So, because seriously, but if this is just going to be on tape, I think that's better. I think Mike is smart.
For who? For us?
Mike.
For Mike? NBC?
And maybe for us, too.
Okay.
Because I don't know, like watching Wayne Gretzky, watching the GOAT of hockey be a really good and interesting, compelling and likable personality on hockey postgame is one thing. I don't know if Mike would be likable. That's my concern, is that we'd see.
Mike doesn't seem big on like being self-deprecating.
Oh, no. Like, can you imagine taking the teasing that Charles takes?
Right.
Oh,
right.
No. That would not, I mean, there's, that would not happen.
What, like two generations of basketball fans who have no idea Charles Barkley was like the baddest man in the NBA. They just think he's kind of a punchline to
like
a certain extent because he never won a title.
Your goofy-ass old hoops uncle. Right. Like, might not realize that, like, that when that dude was going coast to coast, it was frightening and awesome.
At like 6'4", leading the league in rebounds, dunking on everybody in his wake.
Yeah.
There was nothing like Charles Barkley in the NBA at that time.
So, Bulls fans, are you excited to have Michael back on your television tonight? We can see some of your texts. 312-644-6767. I think he's smart to limit it to what he's going to limit it to. Alex, have you seen any other info out there about what this is going to be?
I just have seen the first images that I think played during Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And looks like he put a suit on. Looks like he's they're sitting in. I'm not sure what the scene is or like whether it was at his house or not.
Yeah.
But a nice living room, and it's just him and Mike Tirico on very comfortable chairs.
Yes.
Sitting. It reminds me of like an Obama 60 Minutes interview from right after he left office.
It's I'll tell you what, Mike is great when he's talking ball. Like he always was. And on The Last Dance, I know that he's in full Space Command and control, but you couldn't take your eyes off him, man.
Well,
just and hearing him and watching him process.
It became personal with me.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
We kind of rarely get those glimpses of him because, we'll see Mike out here or there, but he's not necessarily just doing interviews. He's not on social media. So to hear Mike at the mic is different. It is unique, and that's a part of him controlling his brand and his identity. But then there is an appeal to it because we just don't get that many glimpses of him doing much of that. Like Charles Barkley, he's not on social media necessarily, but he's on our TVs all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, Mike, we only get these kind of rare opportunities to hear Michael Jordan addressing anything, let alone talking basketball.
Well, you said it, and it's right. The people don't think about Charles in the way that he was as a player. They think about Charles as he is now as a TV guy. Like, it's kind of nice to think about Mike the way that he was, isn't it? Kind of nice.
Well, way that he was on the court,
yeah.
I mean, Mike off the court wouldn't necessarily survive probably modern times here between social media and the constant news coverage and everything else that the modern athlete ends up dealing with. But Mike, in the 80s and 90s, before we had all this additional access to everyone's private lives, it's very easy to continue to have kind of a sanitized look at what Michael Jordan was, and it makes it easier to digest what he is or isn't still at this point.
Well, Texture says, I hope he doesn't get in the booth or the analyst desk. I like him the way that I remember him. I don't need more. It's an interesting perspective.
Well, it's weird. Like, the bigger you are a star, like the Tom Brady rollout when it first happened, where they're hologramming him into the studio, it's kind of weird for to someone with that level of excellence on the field, and you just drop him in a group setting. Like, it's kind of clunky how they do it. So I think maybe this is the best way to do it, where he's naturally isolated. Well, you know, but I would love to see him grab acid with the other guys. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I mean, like, we've all wanted to be at that poker table when those guys are hanging around playing poker. Like, we've all wanted to be the fourth in that golf foursome when those guys are doing it, and you know, only Pat Manley has been lucky enough to do it of the folks we know in these circles, I believe. But you know, I think Tom Brady has exposed a humanity, a human frailty in all of the talking that he's done as an analyst, because he's a human, and so you hear him make mistakes, or you see his ego being an issue, or whatever. It's like, and I don't know, I'm sure there's Tom Brady devotees that are, you know, that are not enjoying this portion of Tom Brady's public life, you know, that really just enjoyed thinking of him the way that they used to think of him.
A part of it is, I think, just how you handle your image and the access that people have to you during your career, where for the majority of Tom Brady's career, while, you know, the entire time he was in New England, there wasn't a lot of access. There wasn't a lot of knowledge of his private life aside from, oh, he's over in Brazil and he's hanging with this person. Look at Tom Brady out there dancing at Mardi Gras, or, you know, whatever it might be.
Right.
But we didn't get a lot of access then once he left New England, went to Tampa Bay. He did start to let folks in a different way than while he was still playing for Bill Belichick. And that, I think, maybe eased this transition a little bit to now where he is a fully public figure.
Yeah.
But we never really saw that during his Patriots time.
Texture says, listening to Ant go word for word with the broadcast calls of Bulls highlights is getting me teary-eyed, because that's me. That's my childhood. I'm 41. That was my youth and my entire world.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm not the only one who can
do
that.
Oh, no, dude. Do you see? Your face lights up when the music plays. It does.
Chills up my forearm right now just thinking about those times.
Look at the man. Look at him. John Tesh was in France in a hotel room when he thought of the theme, and he didn't have access to any recording device or musical instrument, so he called his home answering machine and sang a version of the melody into his home answering machine. That's how he wrote that thing.
Because he didn't have a smartphone to record it into.
No, just it didn't exist.
That work.
So he called his answering machine and sang ba-ba-ba-ba-ba basketball, ba-ba-ba-ba Bulls and basketball, national, local. It's all blended together for our Anthony Harris.
Yes, sir.
670, the score is where you are. Let's get back to the Bears. The wide receiver crew needs to be discussed. Is there a Gwagi problem with a first-round pick? Let's talk about it next on The Score.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There were a few of them to roam, I believe, before halftime, of that scramble mentality. And I think Rome could have caught one or two of them himself. And I think there was another one that Caleb could have had better ball placement.
Ben Johnson thinks Rome could have made some catches. Anthony Heron is in for Lawrence Holmes. Ant was listening yesterday as we talked about Rome Odunze, and I was expressing my unhappiness with his guagi. For those who don't know, G-U-A-G-I, guagi, is a receiver's ability to gauge the flight of a football.
You guys heard of guagi? Yeah. Go up and get it, guys.
Yeah, strategically maneuver to catch it at its highest point and strongly fend off defenders and complete the catch. So that's a go up and get it guy. And I thought Rome Odunze was going to be a great one. That was the word, is that he had great guagi skills, and we've seen it from times every once in a while, but I don't think we've seen it right here this NFL season. And what do you think?
There's moments where he shows that he's got excellent leaping ability, and at times he shows like the ability to just confidently stretch his arms out and just snatch the football with really strong hands. He's always been really smooth in and out of his breaks for a receiver of his stature. Like, he's a big physical body.
Yeah, but in and out of the breaks does not factor into guagi. You were talking about it. It's the jumping, it's the high pointing, it's the strong hands, it's that stuff. We're not seeing that.
We're not. And it's, to me, it was a frustration I had with his rookie season as well, where he's been throughout the year plus that he and Caleb have been teammates, and even going back to before they got drafted, he's the main guy that Caleb seems to trust in contested ball scenarios. You don't really see him throw DJ Moore balls in coverage and in traffic that frequently, certainly not over the top. Luther Burden, I feel like there's maybe something that's coming up there with Burden, but out of anyone Caleb has played with, the guy who he says, you know what, I'm gonna just give you a chance to make a play, that's been Rome Odunze. And frequently Rome has not come up with that play.
Because frankly, that's a big part of NFL offense, yeah. Folks, is when you've got one-on-one coverage with that guy that you trust is throwing the ball up there to give him a shot to do it. Jalen Hurts is a beautiful deep ball thrower, but Josh Allen will give even Keon Coleman a chance. Joe Flacco does it with Chase and Higgins, and Burrow has as well. But like, your guy that you trust for a 50-50 ball these days in the NFL, you go up and you give him a shot.
There are times where guys are just going to be there. They're going to be in the hip pocket of the wide receiver, and you still need to be able to have that guy that you trust to go and get the football, to win those opportunities when they haven't completely uncovered from the coverage. And Rome Odunze, in a similar fashion to Caleb, there's definitely been progress this season. You go back to the Dallas game when he was in press coverage, and that release against the Cowboys, and he throws up the mailbox, and Caleb hits him in stride for the touchdown. It was a grown man route from Rome Odunze. That's one of the times in his young career where I said he looked like he knew he was better than the guy trying to cover him, and he just beasted him in the route. And next thing you know, the DB's flat on his back, and Rome's running scot-free towards the end zone, and ends up being a touchdown. First one of the game, I believe, for the Bears against the Cowboys. Just want to see more of that, more within the route where Rome is showing physical dominance over the opponent and with the ball in flight. The other day in the game against the Saints, there were multiple opportunities, and he's there, he's in position, he's got hands around the football, and pretty frequently just doesn't kind of come up with it. There have been some impressive catches in his young career. Caleb kind of throwing some BBs down the sideline, and Rome dragging his toes. He's capable of these things, and that's where, differently than Kevin White, where between injury and inability, it became apparent fairly early for Kevin White, the last receiver the Bears drafted in the top 10, right? I mean, it became apparent that, man, there's a lot that's going to have to adjust here for Kevin White if you're not just scheming him open. Rome Odunze seems capable of this. It's just, it's these near misses. There's a lot of near misses where they're just short of the mark of something amazing to happen on occasion in these games.
So Kevin White was your prototypical big body who did not have the Guagi skill set.
Right.
Right?
But the run after catch was what he specialized in college. Throw him a slant and just watch him beast people.
Who was the former first rounder for the Patriots that the Bears had?
N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry, another big body who did not have the Guagi skill set. Just because you're big doesn't mean you have it.
Yeah. And
you know?
Rome is elegant enough where he can adjust to the ball in flight. Your evaluation, I think, is accurate. Where he certainly has the ability for that go up and get it. To be that apex aviator, to just go up and snatch the football over guys' heads. It's just like he gets up there and the Ooh. Ball just doesn't necessarily stick to his hands as
apex,
frequently.
Apex aviator, that's good. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Somebody, really?
Yeah.
Think Matt Miller would like that one? Think Matt Miller would like that? Morton Guagi? I don't know if I want him to hear it. Can we scrub that from the FCC? That was too good for Matt. He's getting in Guagi's way. I think
we should make some hats.
dump them. Dump them.
Thank
dump
you. Em. Thank you very much. Don't get in the way.
Trademark that thing.
I know. Yeah. You know. I'm
waiting for.
Trying to break it through. I haven't asked Buck.
Trademark it before you break it through. If you break it through and you haven't trademarked it, somebody else is going to steal it
from
you.
That's a good point. So maybe it's good.
You can erase it from the FCC.
So it's good that it hasn't broken through at this point because I mean, I can still trademark
now,
it.
For now.
Yeah. I mean, hurry up. That would be my key to what? Dozens of dollars. Don't you think?
At least. Yeah. Tens of dollars.
Tens of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could possibly come my way. Look, Roma Dunze is playing a lot, of course. DJ Moore is playing a lot. Olamide Zaccheaus is playing a lot, although he played his least amount in about five games this past week, principally because they used three tight ends a lot.
There's a couple of things that are akin to why Olamide Zaccheaus is playing less lately. I believe part of that is, yes, they're having more success running the football, and so putting bigger bodies out there. The way that you're seeing wide receivers blocking, especially on some of the exterior runs that DeAndre Swift is having some success with here, then yeah, that matters. DJ Moore blocking his tail off. You're seeing Luther Burton showing a willingness to block his tail off as well. Roma Dunze, the guys are stalk blocking in addition to the offensive line winning the point of attack. But then also, Luther Burton is getting more snaps.
So Luther Burton, 19 snaps this past week. He is just so crazy electric and fun to see with the ball in his hands. 19 snaps, that was 28%. And should he get more? Could he get more? And whose snaps does he take if they're only using a three wideout set? Does he have the skill set to run the routes that Zaccheaus is running in the slot? Like, can that be the swap in? Or are we talking about Luther Burton taking spots from DJ Moore if he were to get more snaps?
Burton has operated in the slot. He did it in college, and he's done it a little bit with the Bears, not as much as he's been outside. My impression is Luther Burton is continuing to earn the trust of Ben Johnson more and more. And because the offense is so voluminous and you ask the receivers to do so many different things, then Burton has to continue to show, just like we were talking to Kurt Warner about earlier, that trust that has to be there for a quarterback when he hits his back foot to just kind of let it rip. There's a trust that needs to be there that the guy you're trying to let it rip to is going to be where he needs to be. Luther Burton, of course, missed some time in the offseason, seems to be growing in that regard. And right now it feels like there's been, at least before the bye, kind of a package of Luther plays where Luther's on the field. He's on the field because we're going to find a way to get him the rock because he's too talented not to try and get him the rock. It feels like since the bye, now his overall cognitive ability to handle more of the playbook is growing. And over the last couple of games, it seems like there's more of Luther Burton just in the route tree as a part of the read progression. And I don't believe there's another receiver on the Bears that's as naturally gifted for the position as Luther Burton.
Really? Like even DJ Moore?
Yes, definitively DJ Moore, because DJ Moore, he's always struck me as a big running back playing receiver, where he's got the ability to pluck the ball, but he more consistently catches it with his body. He's built really strong in the lower body as well. So there's not the smooth sort of wiggle to him as he's running his routes. but he can catch the ball consistently. And when he does, he is the guy who's willing to be sort of physically dominant to try and outmuscle people to get extra yards after the catch and super shifty. But he's not like your classic wide receiver with the way he operates. That's why we're seeing Ben Johnson find more and more opportunities to allow him to run the football and get into the screen game, because that's where he can be truly special. And for Rome, Rome is smooth and he's long and he can pluck the ball, but he doesn't transition from route runner to pass catcher to playmaker with as much ease as Luther Burden does. Like when Luther Burden catches the ball, he goes and snatches it with confidence. He's got really quiet hands that just he knows he can just pluck the football and not worry about having to try to body catch it. The next time he body catches a ball will be the first time Luther Burden body catches a ball. And I love that about him because it shows the confidence that he has in his hands. And when he gets it, whether it's up top, down low, he can transition from even a difficult grab to just trying to gain those yards and eluding defenders in space.
There was a play where he stuck his foot on the ground and immediately took off in that game it was a first down. In the third quarter, they had five first downs in a row on their first drive after the Saints made it 20-14. It's the drive that ends with the Dalman false start, and they only go up 23-14. But there's a Burden play off a fake pitch where he makes the catch and immediately plants and redirects.
Yeah.
And even just that was like, whoo, look at that. Like, put that foot in the ground and just go.
He moves different. He receives passes differently than most of the other wideouts, and he does it consistently. As he just gains more of a mastery of this Bears playbook, I do believe when Ben Johnson envisions, man, we're going to be better in December than we were in September, Luther Burden is going to be a part of that picture.
When I look back on the play-by-play of when I'm watching the game and I'm writing down all the plays and just seeing the way the flow is, the coach is just so damn good schematically. Like, that's your first drive out of halftime.
Yeah.
He makes adjustments. He came out offensively, and they just knew what they were doing. It was a rollout half field to DJ for 12, first down. Next play is that Burden play, first down. Next is a DeAndre Swift big run to the right, first down. Then there's a Saints penalty, and Swift gets another first down all the way to the 7, and it's first and goal in a flash. You know, he's just the scripted plays at the top usually look good, and the stuff coming out of halftime looks good. It's Caleb that's got to help everything else look good in the passing game. The run game is just, he figured it out at the bye, and I think you're right. He found ways to get Burden more involved. Is he going to find ways to get Colston Loveland more involved? Because I get frustrated when I watch Tyler Warren highlights. When I see a Colts game and I'm like, man, that dude looks like a beast. And I wanted Tyler Warren over Colston Loveland. And it was explained to me that Ben needs a tight end like Colston Loveland to run his offense, because he needs somebody who can do absolutely anything and line up anywhere to give him that multiplicity that he wants. But Tyler Warren is an absolute...
Did you happen to watch a Colts game yesterday?
I did. Or 2 days ago. But
do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game.
Whatever you say, Matt.
I want you to do is go back and watch that Colts game.
A little Delaware County. Right there, coming out of Ann Arbor. He's been watching Task.
that's my Nagy. That's the best Nagy.
That's good.
That was
pretty solid. Yeah,
whenever
right
you would say "alls," I was it would just be like nails on the chalkboard.
So what are you going to get? Loveland unlocked here, Ant? Come on.
It's
on you.
The Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland is very similar in my mind to Jayden Daniels to Caleb Williams. Tyler Warren just did a lot more. He played a lot more football in college. Was tasked with doing a lot more as a blocker and pass receiver, and the volume of their offense that ran through him. So he steps into the NFL as a ready-made playmaker. Colston Loveland still has a lot of moldable lump of clay to him, but you see all the physical attributes that are there, and he's a very willing blocker. Like, by comparison to my fellow Hawkeye Sam Laporta, Colston Loveland is already a better blocker in line than Sam Laporta was when he was a rookie with the Detroit Lions. So I don't have a lot of concern yet about Colston Loveland, because the Bears do have other playmakers that they're finding ways to access within the offense.
All right, let's go. It's Spiegel and Holmes with Ant Heron here, and we need to talk about something very, very important. What to do as a parent when your child hurts you. Let's discuss on The Score.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. plays a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Hey, Bishop. I'm still on the radio.
No, it's all right. He can hang.
Paw Patrol.
I need another Paw Patrol.
Okay, I'm going to come turn it on in just a couple of moments, all right?
Guy needs another Paw Patrol.
Give me like 3 minutes. I'm going to come turn on more Paw Patrol, okay?
How old is young Bishop, Bishop Heron, sir?
He is a newly minted 8-year-old.
An 8-year-old boy. I used to have one of those.
Happy birthday, Mike.
My guy's 13. Yeah, that's right. The Rubster's 13 and doing high school
that
applications.
Wild. You got a teenager.
It's crazy, man. I almost said something, but another time.
Something about aprons?
No. He tells me the other day, Ant, he's like, can I take a really long shower, Daddy? I'm like, how long? He's like, well, you know, I'm a teenager now. I take teenager showers.
Hey, yo.
As long as it takes.
That's what I'm saying. My brother tells me I should just put on some Barry White on the sound on the Sonos and just let him really enjoy himself in there.
Oh man.
I know. Oh, believe me. Believe me. It's business time in my house, apparently.
But, I can respect that.
Absolutely. It's a very important time in a young boy's life. But Bishop's a long way from that.
Yes.
Bishop, you guys have a lovely athletic relationship. You play different sports together, and you posted a video of Bishop and you playing one-on-one basketball. And you are the Dikembe Mutombo of one-on-one basketball with 8-year-olds, I got to say.
Me. Yeah. That's me, yeah. Wagging my finger at him and everything.
Right, exactly.
No.
All right, Cookie Monster. So, Grover? I forget which one that is. Right. But, yeah, so he went to take a shot. Well, tell people what happened.
So, we're in the driveway yesterday, and I had a little time after doing some work early in the day. Like, all right, let's go up and hoop. We're getting into hoop season here. It's basketball time. He's been working on his skills a little bit, just finished up with soccer and baseball, all this other stuff he's into. And so there's rebound, ball comes off, and I just kind of bounce it a little bit, and then I tap it away. And of course, I don't spend a lot of time trying to block his shots or steal the ball or anything. I'm just nearby.
Yeah.
Just my height gives him sort of an obstacle to try to shoot.
Sure, you're a daunting opponent by your mere existence.
Yes, preferably shooting over me as this daunting sort of opponent without me having to stretch my hands out. Ball caroms towards the garage, and he immediately, because now he's to the point where he's hooped enough to like try stuff, look behind the back or between the legs or whatever. So he's decided here as he chases the ball towards the garage, this time for a fadeaway jumper. Maybe he knew Jordan was going to be back on the NBA on NBC tonight. Snatches the ball and immediately wheels around to just fling the ball wildly towards the basket. without realizing his dad is between him and the basket. Hmm. And as immediately as the ball is leaving his hands, there's that slow motion, oh no moment where both of our eyes lock and we can see what's about to develop here, that he is going to bean me directly, squarely in the middle of my face where my nose usually resides.
He threw the basketball directly into your face.
He did. He did. And it's not a full-size basketball, but it's big enough to hurt.
And
he's not a full-size human, but he's strong enough to hurt.
The video is remarkable. You posted it on the social medias, and people can see it. What's your handle?
I'm at Big Ant Heron.
At Big Ant Heron. And you turn around and pause. The game action pauses.
I didn't have it in me to signal a timeout, but I think it was apparent that I needed one.
You were granted an injury timeout. And you seem to repeatedly bring fingers to your nose to check and see if the blood was flowing.
I've got to remove the sunglasses first. Uh-huh. And what I don't want is my son to see that he's forcing me to bleed. You know, so now I'm sucking the blood back in my nose. That's the music they would play for the bump to break with the injury timeout on the field.
Tough.
That's exactly what would happen.
It's tough.
And his first question after saying, I'm sorry, like before the ball even hits me, he's apologizing for it.
Let's hear that. This is a key moment as we take a look at the Zapruder film here on the shot. I'm sorry from Young Bishop, by my eye, seems to happen before the ball is released.
That's fair. Yes.
I think that there is intent. I think that he saw the opportunity to throw a ball at Daddy's face, and he took said opportunity. And threw the ball directly at your face and said, oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
My bad, Pops.
Pops, my bad. Because while you have turned away and you're dealing with your pain and your discomfort and you're stunned, he runs down towards the end of the driveway. Does he not? What's he doing down there?
Can't let the ball go into the street. You know what I mean? That's because if the ball goes into the street, he's not allowed to go get it without some supervision.
Oh,
so at
I
a certain
see.
Point, he does check on me briefly. Cared he apologizes.
More, cared more about the ball than his own
first
dad.
Question, are you bleeding?
Oh.
I think it's the first lie I've ever told to my son. Because there's a window of opportunity there where the blood was not gushing from my nose, but I had to suck it back in. Because, you know, kind of Jesse the Body Ventura style. I ain't got time to bleed. We're out there hooping the street ball. I'm trying to teach my son a lesson. I don't bleed.
Yeah.
It's quarter blood.
Taking one in the face.
Directly in the face. I don't think the nose is broken. Is it? Does it still hurt?
It's sensitive. I'll say that. It was definitely still sensitive.
I thought Alex reaching over before the show and grabbing it and shaking it was too much.
That didn't help. He was trying to zonk at me.
Unnecessary. He's trying to turn you into Larry.
I'm sorry.
Turn you into Larry. Yeah, into Larry Zonka. The man, that must have felt terrible.
When's the last time Ruben slapped the taste out of your mouth?
He hasn't done that, but Ruben, like, we like to play box and, like, pretend fight a little bit. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I will haul off and really give him one to remind him, you know, what's going on
here. Old man
here.
Still got it.
But he packs a serious punch
now. Okay, he's getting stronger now.
Oh, yeah. So there's a fair amount of physical pain, which I don't want to show him.
Yeah.
To your point, I don't want to show him that he's affecting me, but sometimes you have to. You know, was Bishop sad? Did you have to, like, help him recover?
So what was cute about it was then at that point, he, like, for the next couple of minutes, once we got back to playing, I could tell he was, like, trying to let me do stuff. It was like, he was, like, pretending he was trying to dribble and dribbling the ball towards me like I stole it, which then I took offense to. Like, you don't have to help me.
He's trying to let Dad win.
Yeah, right. Like, I said we're playing ball, so we're playing ball. You can keep playing hard. It's fine.
Oh, man.
But there's an empathy to him that I respect, while at the same time, I want that killer instinct to come out, too.
Yeah.
Oh, get that dog in him speed.
A texter wonders, have we confirmed that the yell that seems to have come from Julio Rodriguez in the Mariners locker room was not, in fact, from Big Ant Heron after the kid threw a basketball off his face?
Can neither confirm nor deny.
No, we have no confirmation nor denial of such things.
Have you seen me and Julio? That was me in my driveway yesterday. That's exactly what it sounded like.
Oh, God.
Primal yell. That was a good way that Alex described that
before. Primal yell. That is unbelievable.
The yell of heartbreak, according to Inigo Montoya.
God. Ed Heron is here in for Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence will be back tomorrow. We'll be... That's not how we feel about Lawrence being back tomorrow, to be clear. We will, though. We will be at the United Center, and we'll talk with our Taurus Carnivorous.
So jealous of that.
Are you?
The Horace Grant part.
Some people are a little upset about the Arcturus part. Hmm. Not screaming upset.
Oh, okay.
My goodness. But we'll be back tomorrow as a tandem. But we've got one more hour to go here on Spiegel and Holmes. And it's okay.
So get up out of here.
It's all right. It's going to be a good hour. John Morosi is going to join us after that Game 7 and in advance of the World Series. And we'll certainly ask a Kyle Tucker question in there as well. But when we come back, I think we can now close a loop on a big media and Bears story from last week. We'll explain and let you hear why next on The Score.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.